This week on the podcast, we're joined by Ryan from the Game Deflators. We talk about the newest TMNT video game, Shredder's Revenge, some changes coming to the Epic Game Store review system. Actually, I don't think they're changes. I think they are the way it's just going to work. And we give some suggestions for you to pick up from the Steam Summer Sale. All of that and more in this week's episode of the podcast. Roll the intro. We're missing Mindachi's scatting. Hello and welcome to Next to Nothing, a podcast for gamers on a budget. I'm your host, Danny K. With me as always, the wonderful, the beautiful, the Mr. Green Elite. Green, how are you doing today?
I am surviving and thriving, kind of, maybe, possibly. I don't know. At this point, I have lost all sense of time and reality, as I've stated multiple times. I'm in like a bitter battle, fighting inch for inch on with my internet provider, and it's been going quite slow. I had to get the Better Business Bureau involved, so hopefully we get that sorted out soon. But yeah, I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing, Danny?
I'm doing pretty all right. You know, it's funny you mentioned that because, you know, as many people know, we have the same internet provider because they have a stranglehold on our state. And I was experiencing some issues, and so far I'm looking good, but I was, you know, oh, wait, I spoke too soon. Anyways, I was looking at your situation, and I was giving you suggestions and, like, finding you, like, a link, right? But I had the webpage to the FCC's complaint, informal complaint page open, like, almost all day on my computer that I meant to send you. So I wonder if they saw that I had that open. They're like, okay, we got to make sure that this guy's internet is working real good. But anyways, I'm glad you're doing well. I'm doing well. We're also joined by our wonderful guest, Ryan from the Game Deflators. Ryan, welcome back to the show. It's been a while.
Hey, everybody. I'm Ryan from the Game Deflators. How's it going? Thanks for having me back.
Dude, it has been, what, like a year and a half? No. I know it's been longer than that. It's been
It's been a while. John would have been on last, I think, right?
Well, you both were.
Okay.
I remember because you guys were on. We had set up a time for you guys to come on, and then us came on like a month later. You guys were on in like a July 2020 because we were on August 2020. We had to make a bunch of arrangements. Because I was still without internet because of the Duray show.
Oh.
Yeah. That's how I remember because I had to go. I was still working in radio at the time, and I had to go into the radio station's studio in order to join the call.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot you were doing radio then.
Yeah. So it's been that long. Ryan, for the folks out there who have not had the pleasure of meeting you yet, who are you, what do you do, and where can people find you guys?
So I'm Ryan, and like I said, we're from the Game Deflators podcast, where we like to talk about games we've recently picked up, games we're currently playing, and then I go into something that links in with our weekly inflation deflation challenge, where we take a look at one of John's games and tell you if it's worth the going rate or not. And you can find us anywhere podcasts can be listened to. Look for the Game Deflators. Look for the Game Deflators online at Instagram and Facebook, or just Game Deflators on Twitter because they don't like the.
That's right, they don't. And if you guys want to go through the archives, like I said, we were on the Game Deflators. Me and Green were on the Game Deflators August 2020, and the Inflation Deflation Challenge was the original Doom.
Green and me.
I've finally gone back and played original Doom since then, and I love it.
I think when we were on, I still didn't have internet, so I played it on the iOS port. I played the iOS port for the show.
I think I also played the port, like the mobile port.
Yeah. But yes, guys, go check out the Game Deflators. They do fantastic work over there. I do really like the Inflation Deflation Challenge. I think that's my favorite like part of the show, because it is always fun to be like, is this like really worth it to like try to find or not? Like, you know, you guys find some interesting stuff. So it is definitely. Also, I gotta ask, how is your yearly game list going? Are you gonna have to play Blue's Clues again?
Oh no, I actually killed it this year. I did my inflation deflation, or not inflation deflation, that's the weekly one. We do the new games resolution every year. Got to play something you've always wanted to play. I bailed out on Persona 4 hard and did not beat that last year. Blue's Clues as a punishment, and it was great. But this year I beat Dante's Inferno in like January or February. I think it was February. And I've gone on to beat like 5 or 6 games since then. Like, it's a whole new year, whole new me.
Yeah. Ryan, I got a question for you.
Yep.
And our question of the week this week is, who's your favorite team and NT character? So Ryan, you got a favorite team and NT character?
Yeah, so it's definitely Mikey. I loved swinging some nunchucks around as a kid, and he gets down on some pizza, and I'm totally radical, so I definitely hang with Mikey.
Green, how about you? Who's your favorite TMNT character?
Yeah, I was also a Mikey simp when I was a kid, especially the animated, like the Fox
2004? Kids.
Yeah, something like that. But he had like the biggest crush on April, and like it was this whole back and forth thing. And every iteration of April was an absolute hottie. So, you know, you could just relate with Michelangelo. Plus, you know, he was the orange one. You know, this shit was cool. He was the one that talked, and it's like a surfer dude. You know, it was great.
But I apologize. It's 2003. TMNT, 2003 TMNT.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah. My favorite TMNT character is Casey from the 2003 series. I thought his story was always like super sad and the character development, but you know, basically just like the team just needed another Raphael, right? That's all they needed, was just another hothead, but you know, who could, you know, swing a hockey stick. It was fun. It's fun. Guys, in the comments, question of the week this week is, who is your favorite TMNT character? Let us know in the YouTube comments, let us know in the live chat, or you can let us know on Spotify. And, I mean, there is a reason we're talking TMNT this week. Ryan, you've had a chance to at least get some first impressions with Shredder's Revenge. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so Shredder's Revenge is the first Ninja Turtles game I played since Turtles in Time on the Super Nintendo. Like, I know there's been a whole bunch of games, but that was like my one Ninja Turtle game. So coming from that to this many years later, it's like perfect. It's exactly everything that I remembered and better. And it's got so much of the classic, like old school Ninja Turtles stuff in there. I mean, I don't even remember some of the characters in there, because I don't know much about like the comics or extended stuff, but like, I mean, Bebop and Rocksteady and like all the toys, like there's the vehicles and everything exactly like I remembered from the commercials, and just brought to light in like the newer, you know, crisper graphics. Everything's amazing. I think that the one thing that I'm really lacking is that I've been playing the experience solo, and it's like multiplayer up to 6 people. So that's the biggest thing that I've been missing from it, but in the time that I've had with it, I've really enjoyed it so far.
Yeah, so Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, it's gone through a couple reboots, it's gone through a couple different iterations. Do you know like what iteration of the Turtles this is? Is this like the 2003, or is this even before that?
This is like the 90s, like 80s, 90s Turtles, like I remember from being a kid. It's like got April and her like big puffy hair and yellow jacket, and everything's like super brightly colored and 2D, not like, I know they had like the 3D iterations and stuff. It's everything that I remember from like the cartoon and the commercials. Like, I had like the transforming like Ninja Turtle toys as a kid. And it just brings all that back to be playing it. Like, I really wanted, when I booted it up, I like did it right. I put like Dexter's Lab on the TV. I made some waffles and like, you know, a real sugary breakfast. And I just got to town on the game.
Yeah. So what's the story hook here? Like, what is the inciting incident of this game? And is does it work as a hook?
So the game's like a classic beat 'em up. So the story elements are a little bit light. You get like an opening of the Ninja Turtles and everybody gathered around like a TV, chowing down on some pizza, and then the news cuts in, and Bebop and Rocksteady have like invaded the TV station, and Shredder's threatening to redecorate like the Statue of Liberty with like the big robot alien stuff, and Turtles get to work, go down to the station and try to get to town. And as you go through the story, each level you get, you know, in the classic old Turtles games, you'd have like a little splash screen with a silhouette of the boss, and it'd be like New York, 3 a.m. or whatever, and gives you like a place and a time for where that level's going to take place. And then you get like a little slightly animated, slightly just like a little still transition between each level that just kind of brings the story through. But the story takes you all the way starting in the sewers, up all around New York, other dimensions. It goes everywhere you want a Ninja Turtles story to go. I mean, is captivating as a beat 'em up can be, this is right there.
Yeah, so you're describing it as a beat 'em up, and people who are watching on Spotify or on YouTube can see very classic beat 'em up style. How are you playing the game? Like what platform? How is it playing? Like how does it feel?
So I have been playing on my Series S that I got last year, and I've been loving Game Pass ever since I got my hands on it, because you get day one releases like this. So if you've got I think it might be on PC Game Pass too, I don't know, I only do the console, but if you can get it on Game Pass, you could get it day one for, you know, free right now, essentially. That's where I've been playing. The controls are great. One thing this does do vary to the older Turtles games, it used to be just, you know, pick your favorite turtle because they're all the same. But in this, everybody's got stats. They've got different moves depending on like which move you're doing. So like most people have the same double jump and then swing your weapon in the air for an aerial attack. But Leonardo has like a jumping spin attack with his swords. So everybody's a little bit different in how they control and how they perform. So as much as I love Mikey, he's really not the character that I align with the most. I actually think I like playing April or Leonardo the most in this game.
Awesome. In terms of like the controls and stuff like that, does everything feel satisfying? Like, does it feel good to like land hits and combos?
Oh yeah. So the combos in this game are really good. You're trying to not only manage, you know, not getting hit because it'll deplete your super meter, but making sure that you're like burning that as quick as you can, because unless you're playing story mode where you can level up your characters and stack more super, it's just wasted time. So trying to get through the levels, the challenges of like not getting hit or doing certain things, there's always like more to do than just focusing on the combat, which is why the combat being buttery smooth is like perfect. Anything that you're doing feels very responsive. Trying to figure out how to interact with each of the different enemies and around their patterns and stuff is all you know, about putting different enemies on the screen and trying to work around those combinations, and the controls never get in your way of doing that.
Yeah. Do you have any particular qualms about the game? Like any annoyances or hiccups that you've experienced?
So I don't really think so. Like I tried both the arcade mode and the story mode. When I was playing the story mode, I was choosing a different character between each level just to get more of a feel for each of them as I went through the game. And then in the arcade mode, you're just locked into the one character and try to get through, you know, as far as you can. I think that The arcade mode's a little more challenging. I prefer the story mode because I'm not a super great gamer, but I mean, I wouldn't say it's a problem with the game. It's really just there for people that want that kind of challenge. And with six people that you can team up with in multiplayer, like, there's so much more to this game than I've even been able to try. So I don't know if things get like out of hand at those ends, but for everything I've done, I've had no problems with the game.
Nice. Green, do you have any thoughts, opinions, or questions you want to express related to the gameplay itself?
Oh, I definitely like the whole old beat 'em up style of it reminds me of like going to the arcade, like yeah. the pizza arcade with friends, and like four people just huddled around the one arcade machine trying to sit there and go as hard as we can before we all die and have to throw more quarters in.
Yeah, it captures old arcade pixel art very, very well. I do have some information here for anyone that is interested, and then we'll kind of get some final thoughts here. So if you're interested in actually playing the game, you can play it on Switch, PS4, Xbox One, Windows, and Linux. I checked Steam. It is currently 10% off, right? So you can get it for 10% off. It's $22.49. It is regularly retailing for $24.99 American. If you do want to play it on Windows, minimum system requirements are a 64-bit operating system, Windows 7 or newer, 4 gigs of RAM, NVIDIA GeForce GTX 320, or an AMD Radeon HD 5570, or an Intel HD 4600. So not a bunch of like high-end requirements. I think this would be a good one for anyone who may be running on a lower-end machine, or maybe you got a Steam Deck that you want to play it on. I think anything like that would definitely be this would be a good option for those kind of gamers. Is this a game, Ryan, that you would recommend people pick up now, pick up on a sale, or maybe wait until it's free? What do you think?
I mean, that's a tough call. I think that if you've got like a couple of friends, you know, and this is something they would be interested in, I would definitely pick this up full price. It would definitely be a great way to spend a weekend with a couple of buddies at a pizza. If you're like me and you're mostly going to do it solo, you know, if it's on Game Pass, that's an easy choice. Get Game Pass. I think Game Pass is running like a deal right now where you can get like 3 months for $5 or something, or maybe that was a couple weeks ago. I don't remember. They've always got
$1. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's $1. Yeah.
But that's probably the easiest way to get this right now. But this is going to be one of those games that's going to be around forever and will definitely, you know, be on future sales. So I think it's really up to you mostly. Like, I think if you have friends, definitely pick it up. If it's going to be solo, pick it up when you think it hits that right price point for you, especially because you're going to get a lot of replay out of this, the more people you have to share it with. But I personally myself don't find it super fun going through old beat 'em ups solo over and over again.
If you had to give it an out of five rating, let's say an out of five rating, what would you put it at?
Oh, definitely like a solid like 4, maybe like a 4.5.
Can we get
I don't know. I'm reluctant with a 5. A 5 is a hard score to give.
Yeah. I say, can we make sure Metacritic takes that into account?
Right. That's what the game deflator said. Dang it.
That's right. No, I think this definitely looks like, at least from the first impressions, this looks like a really good game, like a solid game, like a really solid option. And I don't know, I haven't heard anything bad or catastrophic about this game, so I don't think anyone should be too worried about picking it up. Any other thoughts or opinions about Shredder's Revenge?
I think it's got so much confidence in its presentation and what it's really bringing to the table, and I would love to see more older properties revisit this kind of thing, because like beat 'em ups are classic and they've been around for like a long time. Like the last real beat 'em up I heard people talking about was like, I don't even remember. There was one a couple years ago. Slips my mind. But like, I would love to see this same confidence brought to like redoing like a new Simpsons arcade beat 'em up or something. Like, I want to see those same old 90s, 80s classic cartoons brought back in this light with this same strength again.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially because a lot of those cartoons do lend themselves well to being video gameized. The Simpsons being a good example. Like, The Simpsons has so many characters and has a fleshed out enough world that you could do that with. You could do, again, you mean the old school, the old arcade machine, and then you also had Simpsons Hit and Run and stuff. So definitely like seeing those, maybe do like a He-Man or, you know, Thundercats video game or something, you know?
Yeah, let's get a sweet Thundercats side scroller that you could play 5 players with all your friends as the Thundercats. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I think I have a question of the week for next week.
What's your favorite Thundercat?
I feel like every person, if they made that game, would be fighting over Lion-O.
Oh, whatever, dude. It's all about Panthro.
what was the cheetah one? Was that She-Ra? Is that what her name was?
Chitara,
that's right. So is that it for TMNT?
Yeah, definitely recommend. Definitely check it out. Game Pass is awesome.
So did you guys know that Epic Games just hasn't had a review system yet? Like, they've never had a review system on their store?
I mean, it makes sense. I remember it was like well over a year before they got a shopping cart involved. So you had to check everything out one at a time. Like, I don't understand how they could throw millions of dollars at losing money on giving away games, but can't do the basics.
Yeah. So after years of operation in the space and millions and millions and millions of dollars in investment in trying to accumulate player to get players to actually use the service, Epic Game Store has finally introduced a rating system for the games on its platform. And allegedly, it's designed to prevent review bombing. So review bombing, I feel like it's a pretty self-explanatory term, but for the sake of, you know, and for the sake of education, let's explain it. It's basically when crowds of players coordinate to deliberately review games, either good or bad, but mostly bad, in order to change the overall score. And this can be done for a variety of reasons. It could be for like really bad and predatory monetary practices. A good example of that recently would be Diablo Immortal. Immortal. It could be for political reasons. You know, there's a lot of times where players would feel like devs are either being insensitive in some way, or on the opposite side, they feel like maybe devs are being too woke, and so they will review bomb games for political or social reasons. And so whether or not you think it's justified, it does play an important role in consumer choices, because a lot of consumers will look to sites like Metacritic or whatever, or Steam, and see the review system, or see the average review rate, and will make their purchasing decision based on that information. So it is an issue, and that platforms have been attempting to combat this for a while. The issue has only kind of grown and become more prominent. So the system that Epic Games has employed is that the system doesn't allow anyone to review a game they play, right? So you as Ryan from the Game Deflators. Just because you bought a game does not mean you can review it. Instead, players who have had two or more hours will be randomly selected to review the game on a 5-star scale. Right? So Ryan, Greenlee, you both play the same game for 2 hours. Ryan, due to random selection, you don't get to give a review or a rating. Mr. Greenlee does. Does that make sense? So they then take all of the ratings that the randomly selected players give and provide an aggregate overall rating. So if they send out a random selection to 100 players out of, say, 300 players, and the average from those on a scale of 1 to 5 is 3.5, that's the rating they're going to give on the store page. Make sense? Epic thinks the system will prevent review bombing and won't be overly burdensome to players because, quote, these requests are randomized, we won't spam our players, and we probably won't ask about every game or app used. The approach protects games from review bombing and ensures people assigning scores are actual players of the games. That is their direct quote. And that's really all there is to it. There's not much else really to say about the system itself, but I really do want to know some thoughts. So guys, if you're in the comments on YouTube or listening on Spotify or any of the other podcast platforms, let us know your thoughts. Green, if they want to let us know their thoughts, how can they do it?
@NextNothingPC on Twitter, of course.
Yeah. So let's kind of go around the table with you guys. Green, I'm going to start with you. What do you think of this system?
I think they're kind of I think they're protecting their own self-interest here. Because I know for sure, like Borderlands 3, when that went Epic exclusive for a certain amount of time, that definitely would have been review bombed on Epic. 100%. Because people pre-ordered on Steam. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, nope. We're Epic exclusive for 3 months or however long it was. So yeah, I don't know. Review bombing isn't great. It's never been like a great solution. So I can understand like a company not wanting games on their platform being review bombed, but on the other hand, sometimes the certain devs or games deserve it. It might help that they do it this way. Just because it's a little more unbiased. But then again, who also shops on Epic? Like, I think a good 60% of the Epic owner, like the Epic account holders, are there for the free games. And then the other 40% are there for Fortnite. So,
well, I was going to say, they're there for Fortnite, Rocket League, and now Fall Guys.
Yeah. Which are all free to play. So,
yeah. Holy Trinity.
Yeah. Ryan, what do you think?
So, I mean, I like the system. I think that it's a smart system and it makes sense. But I think the cat's kind of already out of the bag on review bombing and reviews. And it's been going on the way it's been going for too long. And at this point, it's really more of like censoring anybody that wants to share their opinion and only gathering from those that, you know, they are deeming, you know, random enough to get that selection. Like, how do we know what random is and what those other people are playing, or, you know, if their influences mean one thing or the other? I don't know. If it's just a simple star rating and there's no text involved, it's really hard to gather like what that is rating even means, you know, to begin with. So like, I almost wish there were two systems. Like, why not have a star system for just like recommendations and then a review system for reviews? Like, they could be two separate things and serve two separate purposes. Cause like, sometimes what you would recommend as a game and what you would review a game don't necessarily line up. Something might be really decent, but just not for you. And there's not really a way to express that in this system.
Yeah. That is actually a really good point too, because I guess something for me is I always want to know, like, if something has a really low rating, I kind of want to know why, right? I don't always care about aggregate scores. Like, I do want to know, like, is it like something specific? Like, this didn't work. I bought this for like a Windows 10 and the devs didn't update this game, past a, Windows 7, build, or, like the Fallout games, like Fallout 3 for me on my computer crashes all the time. Kind of wish I had known that was an issue with Windows 10. Or this game says keyboard and mouse support, but there's no keyboard and mouse support in this game at all. Stuff like that, right? Like where it gets like really low ratings. Like I would love to know like specifics like that.
And if things change, like how is that going to, if it gets the bulk of its reviews when more people are playing and then over time changes happen to the game, there's less people playing, so less reviews are getting randomly sent out to people. Will that score have time to recover if the game gets better over time, or if the game degrades over time and it started off better, will the score be able to change enough to reflect that?
Yeah. And that's part of the reason why I like the Steam system so much, is because anyone who plays it, and you can see like if a player has played the game in Steam, but it will tell you the overall score. So if it's like mostly positive, it'll be like, it'll tell you, but then it'll also tell you like the most recent changes. Like you can look and see most recently it's been reviewed mostly negative, and you can, go and sort by the mostly negative reviews that have come in within like the last 30 days or whatever, and be like, oh, they added an update where it's just like a bunch of like scummy monetization changes and all sorts of stuff like that. So that's, I think those are really good points. My opinion on like this system is I have an issue with the randomized selection in theory, and that is I'm afraid of just sampling errors, right? Like if you are sending out requests for ratings to, are the people who like really, really love the game more likely to like give their opinion, give their rating than someone who's just kind of meh about it, right? Yeah, I played Metro Exodus. It was fine. I enjoyed it, but I don't feel like giving a rating. And, but someone who's like, oh yeah, I played Metro Exodus, I fucking love it, and I want like to like tell the world about it, right? Those are two very different like reactions. And those two very different reactions, I think there's one person who is definitely going to want to, take that rating option that, Epic would push to them and give their opinion on it, as opposed to someone who's just like, yeah, it's okay. And yeah, like on the flip side. Difference. Yeah, and then like on the flip side, like someone who absolutely fucking hates the game, wish they could refund it, and would and it's just gonna give it a 1-star review. That again, that's very different than the person who's just like, yeah, it was fine.
Reviews and comments were built for people that have opinions, not for people that are just getting a like, hey, by the way, did you want to let people know what you thought about this?
Yeah. So. I don't know. I would be a little weary of some sampling errors potentially. And then I don't know. There's also just the issue of like, if you are someone, would it tag you as someone who is more likely to answer that prompt to give a rating? And if you are, I know it says randomized, but if it tagged, I don't know if it would like tag you and then like start pushing more to you. I don't know. Again, just kind of sampling, like I just be aware of weary of like sampling errors with it. It get kind of gives me like a little head scratch.
I also think I really don't like 5 as a system. I think 10 has a lot more expressiveness inside of it, because like there's a big difference between an 8, a 9, and a 10. Mm-hmm. And much less of a difference between a 4 and a 5.
Yeah. Now, here's a question. Would you guys, if the system said, like gave you like three options of, I recommend this game, I wouldn't recommend this game, and like no comment or whatever. Would you guys like that more? I'm indifferent. Like, would you guys like that more than like a scale of 1 to 5?
I don't know. I still think that like having a comment box, being able to put your own words to it, means way more than any just, because like that's the thing. People are going to look at this system, they're going to see it's a 3.5, and they're going to go to some other website that's going to tell them what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. It definitely means more when you're like actually reading text and like someone's like genuinely expressing like, hey, I really enjoyed this game.
Mm-hmm. This is just Epic doing their worst job to put up a front and look like they're being official.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're money lottery. We all know it. They're not giving away free games for nothing.
Tim Sweeney is like feverishly like trying to cover up millions and millions of dollars.
Congress is going to look at us. We better put like a shopping cart and a review page in here quick.
Okay, cool. Any other thoughts on Epic Games store review system at all?
I mean, you know, we'll see where it goes, because like it could be the solution to everybody's problems, or it could just be another thing that nobody pays attention to through Epic.
Yeah,
I have nothing else. It's just Epic yeah. Being Epic doing Epic things.
Yeah, well, that was a steamy conversation. Do you guys want to talk about the steamy summer sale?
What you did there?
I didn't. I'm kind of ashamed of myself for that.
I'm resigning.
But the Steam Summer Sale is happening right now, so I figure why not? Let's give some suggestions. So we're gonna do like one like, you know, regular suggestion, like something that's on sale right now that you guys suggest, that you recommend someone pick up, simply because it's on sale. And then we're gonna do something a little bit different, and that is one game that's under $5. Right? So for the real budget gamers out there, we're gonna talk about the $5 games too. Green, I'm gonna start with your first regular one.
My regular one is It Takes Two. If you haven't played that game, it's awesome. It's on sale right now, 60% off, for a total of $15.99. Right, that game is awesome. If you buy it and you have a friend who wants to play it, all they need to do is download the free companion portion of it, and then like, so both people don't have to play, you know, pay to play the game.
Yeah,
it's great. It's awesome. It's mind-blowing genius.
Yeah. Ryan,
story is really good.
Do you have one ready to go?
So I didn't at first, but I did find one on here. Neon White is on sale, 10% off. That just came out, and that's supposed to be really awesome.
Oh, I lost you there for a second.
Oh, am I back?
You're back.
Okay. There was one thing on the front page I did want to mention. Babylon's Fall is sitting there on the front page. They're still trying to push that game. I did look up the stats. It's had a 29... player count peak the last 24 hours, and when I looked earlier, it was at like a 16 player count. So that's 50% off. If you want to see the fall of a game from the inside, you can get in on that.
Oofta. This is going to be no surprise, but my, like, you know, regular get it on sale right now game, Hunt Showdown.
And just so everyone's aware who's listening, he had to fight me before the episode to actually get to suggest that.
Yep.
Quietest person won.
Yep. I told him, I'm like, Green, you don't get to just suggest Hunt Showdown this time. I do. How about our under $5 ones? Ryan, if you have one for under $5, let's go to you.
So under $5, there's a lot of good stuff on there. Fallout New Vegas is $2.99. If you've never played Fallout New Vegas, you just want to buy it again, like, there's no way you could say no to that. If you already do have that, I did see Transistor is $3.99, and that's a sweet game.
Yeah. But yeah, Fallout New Vegas, best Fallout. Absolute. It's a masterpiece of a game.
All Fallouts are bad. Fight me.
I will. Green, what's your what's your under $5
suggestion? I am going to suggest Celeste. Celeste is actually on sale for it's $4.99. It's 75% off. I know Rev absolutely loved that game. I got it for my indie build PC in our bedroom. My fiance loves that game. So definitely worth trying out.
Excellent. My under $5 game is a classic from Humongous Entertainment. It's Putt-Putt Goes to the Moon. Originally released in 1993. You can get it for $4.19 right now. And I recommend it because, first off, you just need some wholesome, you know, you need to work the old ticker up there sometimes, right? You know, sometimes some children's edutainment can help you do that. But also, just have something, like, for kids on your computer. You never know, like, if you're going to need a kid's game to occupy a five-year-old. You know, maybe your Tinder date decides they want to bring their kid to your Netflix and chill session, right? Stick them in front of your computer while you go watch Netflix, you know?
Quote unquote, cheapest Netflix. Babysitter money can buy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Babysitter for $4.19. Best babysitter. Stick some headphones on them. Right? They won't hear a thing.
We're going to go watch Stranger Things.
Uh-huh.
Don't worry.
Don't worry.
Nothing bad's going on.
So that's my suggestion. Putt-Putt Goes to the Moon.
There's so many good options for under $5 too.
Yeah.
Like, make sure you go to the Steam page, check it out. I mean, there's Batman. Gary's Mod is $3.99. Terraria.
Doom 3.
Yeah. Payday.
Yep.
2 is 99 cents.
Yeah, Payday 2 is one. Especially if you like grab like four copies of it and just four copies, one for you and three for friends. It's, you know, pretty easy.
I'm going to make a suggestion for Mendachi. Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen is $4.79.
Mm.
I know he's a big fan of that Dragon's Dogma. So yeah.
So much so that he actually liked the shitty Netflix anime that came out like 2 years ago. Any other Steam suggestions? Steam sale suggestions?
Darkest Dungeon, $3.74.
Yeah, especially
because... I think you mentioned earlier.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Shredder's Revenge is 10% off.
Yep, Shredder's Revenge is 10% off.
Yazooka, or Yakuza 0. I think it's Yakuza 0 or Yakuza 0. I think it's 0, right?
I think it's 0.
I think it's 0.
$4.99. Mendachi would be creaming right now. Getting Over It with Bennett Foddy. A classic PC game that everyone hates but loves but hates mm-hmm. loves to hate, $2.39.
Yeah,
I mean, Golf It with Friends, $4.99. I'm actually gonna pick that up because I have it's Golf With Your Friends is $4.99. I bought from the Steam sale forever ago the other golf game, Golf It, expecting to play with people, like putt putt with people, but I haven't yet, but I'll have it on both. I'll have the Golf It and Golf With Your Friends. So
can I have
a community night.
Read the description of a game here for you guys that I just saw while Absolutely. I was scrolling through. So this game is 20% off. You can get it for $2.39. It's called Billionaire Lovers. You're a broke college student. You're a broke college graduate. You're rich, distant uncle has shown up and given you $100 million. And right at this moment, four handsome men come into your life. Could this be the romance you've been waiting for? But wait, there's something behind their smiles that say otherwise.
I'm sold. Where is this? What is this magical title?
I have never been more turned off.
Billionaire Lovers. You can find that on Steam. It's a visual novel.
Speedrunners is on here, 374. That's a fantastic.
Any other suggestions that we want to give?
No, I'm now lining my cart. Which is horrible because I can give up my ramen noodle money.
Mm-hmm.
I love you, Steam.
That's why I stay away from PC gaming. Like, this would be way too much backlog.
Right.
Don't Starve, $249. Golf It, $449. You could get both the golf games and play with me. Loop Hero is $494.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of games under $5 right now. Good games. Outlast sounds fantastic.
Counter-Strike is $2. I thought Counter-Strike was old enough to be public domain by now.
One would think.
Knights of the Old Republic 2, The Sith Lords, $349.
Yeah. All right. I think people have enough suggestions now. If they can't find a game on the Steam sale to purchase for themselves, I don't know what we could do for them otherwise. Was there anything else that we wanted to discuss before we end the show here? One more suggestion.
Gris is $424.
Mm.
That one's also a very, very fun game. Revolver.
Yeah. Anything else, guys?
We talked about Nintendo Direct a little bit, but there wasn't really much to talk about, so that was kind of a dud warning.
Yeah, unfortunately, like, the Nintendo Directs, they don't seem to do much for me as personally. This one just seemed like a lot of ports. I think we mentioned, like, Mega Man fans are going to be happy. There's some Persona stuff that was getting shown off. Like, I think there's some more Persona ports coming to Switch, but otherwise there wasn't anything like super groundbreaking.
It was all stuff that's coming this year, so nothing new, nothing exciting. Like, people want to see this time of year new announcements. They don't want to see, hey, we talked about this, it'll be here in a few months.
Yeah.
Not the season for that, Nintendo.
Yeah. Well, I mean, leave it to Nintendo to to not be in the zeitgeist in that way, I should say.
Yeah.
But, I think we can wrap up the show. Keep it nice and tight. Tight. Yeah.
Tight on a Tuesday.
Exactly. Ryan, thank you for coming on the show, dude.
For having me. I love coming and talking to you guys, and thanks for giving me a platform to espouse all the things that I think that aren't important.
Yeah, we appreciate and love having you on. So for the folks out there who maybe missed your introduction, who are you, what do you do, and where can people find you?
So I am Ryan of the Game Deflators podcast, where we like to talk about games we've recently picked up, games we're currently playing, and then we go into some little spiel where we go on about one of John's games that he collects to tell you if it's worth it or not in our weekly inflation deflation challenge. You can find us anywhere podcasts can be listened to. Look for the Game Deflators. Look for the Game Deflators online at Instagram and Facebook, and look for Just Game Deflators on Twitter, because they don't like the...
Green, what's coming up on your channel?
I simply do not know. I know the Tarkov wipe is tomorrow. I don't know if I'll be streaming or not. It just depends on the day, because my internet provider is big hot poo poo. I am living by their rule and their rule only. And that is, if they are a merciful God and they spare me a bit of upload, sir. Then I will be streaming, but until then, I don't know. So yeah, Tarkov, I'll probably get into that since it's the new way. Hunt Showdown, of course, and just a little bit of a space trekking in Star Citizen. But you can catch all that twitch.tv/MrGreenLee, and then all the socials, Mr. GreenLee, including TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all the fancy things.
Excellent. Coming up with me, I probably won't be streaming for the next little bit. I am, you know, my girlfriend just came back from a trip back to Washington, and she has to head out again soon. So I am taking this time to, you know, spend as much time with her as possible. So probably won't see me streaming, but you guys will see me on Twitter. And you guys can find me at Danny K, DanieCae. We'll still be doing the podcast and stuff like that, but probably just not really streaming. And it kind of gives me a nice break. I've also been dealing with internet issues a lot, like Green. Anyone who's been catching the live show probably has seen some weird jitteriness as well. So, you know, it gives me some time to figure that shit out as well, hopefully. But yeah, that's going to be me for the next little bit. Anything else that we wanted to mention?
No. Good. Thanks again.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. Well, guys, that's really going to wrap up the show this week. Thanks for watching and listening. Your time with us is always appreciated, but of course we're not just interested in your time. We also want to hear your thoughts. So thoughts on anything that you guys heard today. Want to let us know what you think. You can let us know in the YouTube comments or on Twitter or Spotify. If you guys want to answer the question of the week this week, it is, who is your favorite TMNT character? If you guys missed any part of the show, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, and everywhere podcasts are found. I kind of messed that up. I'm kind of in a weird space in my mind. I'm getting too far ahead of myself. Sorry. If you want to catch us live, you can find us on Twitch every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Central Time. If you like what we do, you guys can drop a like and subscribe and ring that bell. That really does help us out a ton with YouTube. But if you really want to take it to the next level, right, you guys want to be like, you don't want to be plebeians. You want to be heroes. You want to be above the fold. Give us, or tell your friends about us. That really does help us out way more than you guys think. Otherwise, until next week, stay safe, stay healthy, keep fighting the good fights, and we'll talk to you again next week. Goodbye.
I love you.